From the one who receives sinners, our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace to all of you. Amen. We've heard our text for this morning. It's the gospel reading that we had from the Gospel of Luke. I share with you just the closing verse. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you come to a situation where you have to make a choice, but you're not sure. You'd like this one, this would work. This one would work too. But this one might work better, but this one works okay. And you reach an impasse. You've got to make a decision. So sometimes, in very simplistic thinking, what do? We flip a coin. Absolutely. We flip a coin. Do I buy the TV or do we get the sofa? I suppose I can sleep on it once or twice. Okay. Do I mow the lawn or do I watch the game this afternoon? 2 out of 3. Okay. Come November, heads, no. Tails, no. So we do that, don't we? We make our choices. We flip the coins, and we come up, and it's really wonderful. We do it again. We make our choices, and it's very simple. But you know, sometimes what happens is the fact that while we're going, forget it. It's just a penny. It's just a penny. Doesn't matter. I've got more. Doesn't matter. We're all set. It's just a penny, right? Obviously, 1 cent. You can't even buy anything with 1 penny anymore. It's not worth anything as 1 penny, right? Am I right? I know. I'm looking and I'm saying, you know, there's some of you, I know if you'd see that on the sidewalk, you'd bend down and pick it up. I would too. All right? But the fact is, there's other people who watch them drop it at Piggly Wiggly. Oh, it's just a penny. Never mind. Just a penny, unless that penny is you. Then it might mean something, huh? When we're that penny that might be lost, when we're that penny that's been dropped, then all of a sudden there's more importance to it, isn't it? And we realize that one becomes very important. One can become very precious. And that's what Jesus would have us know this day. As he gives us these parables today, about the shepherd and the sheep and the woman and the lost coin. He wants to remind us how precious the one. How precious the one that he himself would go looking for it. How precious the one that he died for, that we too would go looking for it. Now we have the situation before us. Jesus has been teaching. This is actually, some have even said that Luke builds to this point of Jesus teaching. And while he is there, we are told the tax collectors and sinners were gathering around to hear Jesus. They weren't looking for a miracle. They were actually coming to listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were coming to listen to his word. They had a reason. The Pharisees weren't there to listen to Jesus. They were there to find fault with him. The teachers of the law weren't there to find some new insight to the scriptures. They were trying to find some fault with Jesus that they could eventually get rid of him or discredit him. And here come the tax collectors and sinners. And the pennies of the world were coming to Jesus. The ones that people don't give a great deal of worth to. Matter of fact, they talked about Jesus. He says, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. How? What? In the world, why would anyone follow this man when look at who he associates with? These outcasts, these losers. And we take a look at it. He says, tax collectors and sinners. Now, tax collectors at this time, we've reviewed this before, but there were two things wrong with tax collectors in the mind of the Jew. One, he worked for Rome. All right? Nobody liked Rome. They didn't want that, and the tax collector worked for Rome. And the second thing is, the tax collectors who worked for Rome never got paid by Rome. They got paid by the excess taxes they brought on the people. As long as Rome got its share and as much as they required, they could collect as much as they wanted. So basically, they were cheats and liars besides. Work for Rome, cheats and liars. They were the dregs of society. If you remember the parable that Jesus gave about the Pharisee and the tax collector, he was specifically using those because he was going to extremes at both ends. Here's this one who we would put up as the righteous one. Here's the one we'd put up as the loser, the bottom of society. That was the tax collector and the sinners. They were coming to Jesus while the rest of them looked back and said, oh my, look at this. And so Jesus corrects them. He tells them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep. Now he's going to go and give them his PowerPoints would be what's around him. And he was going to something everyone would be familiar with, shepherding. You didn't have to go very far and you would see the shepherds in the fields and in the hills and everything. And everybody knew about it. All right, so he's going, there's a shepherd, he's got 100 sheep. One of them wanders away, he loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home, calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. The parable is very simple to understand. The owner of the sheep lost one. He still had 99. He had a big flock. What's going to be the loss of one? What would be the loss of one out of 100? Hardly worth the effort. Now, with 100 sheep, that's a fairly large flock too, by the way. That would take more than one person probably to watch it. And so the shepherd would have probably had under shepherds with him and hired shepherds with him to watch the flock. But we notice they didn't get sent to find the lost one, did they? The shepherd himself makes the effort and goes looking and searching. He searches until he finds it. And then when he finds it, do we hear him really yelling at that sheep for getting lost, for running away? No, the sheep actually becomes the focus of attention, doesn't it? The sheep becomes the focus of attention because it was lost and now it's found. It got lost on its own. It did its own bad things. It didn't follow the lead of the shepherd. It didn't stay with the flock. But now it's found. What a wonderful sheep. And Jesus says, listen, guys. And in our case, listen, guys and girls. Isn't that what God has done for us? We love to wander. We love to follow our sinful nature. Now you're going to say, love, that's a little strong, isn't it? But that would be our general, that's our, if in computer, that's our default. Our default is our sinful nature. We don't wish to follow God. And yet here is God searching for us. Here he comes looking and he searches for us and he finds us. It's not because we are so worthy. It's not because we are so good. The Pharisees and those that were accusing Jesus of eating with sinners, they thought God would pay attention. God should love them because that's who they were. They were wise, righteous people, worthy of God's attention. They were not and neither were we. But then the Good Shepherd comes into our life. The Good Shepherd comes and says, I know you've wandered. I know you've failed. I rejoice that you are mine. I rejoice that you have come into my flock. Not by our doings, of course, right? We think about all the things that would keep us out of the flock. Why would the shepherd want this one back? You know, that one's caused him nothing but grief. It's had him wander away. He's wandered away, and now I've got to go looking for him and at risk of leaving the rest behind. But he says, they'll be there. And there was great rejoicing. Matter of fact, how much rejoicing was there? It says that, I tell you in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. The 99 that were left, yes, God rejoices in them. But oh, what a joy there is now in this one wanderer who is brought back to the flock. That's us, folks. We're the one that Jesus himself, the good shepherd, went chasing after. He is the one who came down to pick up the penny, to give us grace and love and undeserved mercy. What a wonderful God we have. But he didn't stop there. Matter of fact, this is the first, that the shepherd one is the first of actually three parables. We only have two of them listed for us in our gospel reading for this morning. The third one we know is the prodigal son, which is really kind of misnomered or misnamed, I should say, because it really isn't the prodigal son. It's the loving and accepting father that looks for the son to return. But we have the second parable now. We notice, or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." Now this may seem a little bit strange for us, because if you've ever lost your keys, and you've searched and searched and searched and searched, and I mean, it's really getting desperate, and then you find them. I don't know of anybody who quickly texts or Facebooks everybody to let them rejoice. Rejoice with me, I found my keys. We probably wouldn't do that. And yet realize in this situation, the 10 silver coins represented what would have been the minimal life savings of someone who is not extremely wealthy. And when you lose 10% of that, that would be a large sum. And they lost it. And you notice, look how she does it. She lights the lamp. She's not going to quit. She could have said, "Well, I'll look for it again in the morning." Oh, no. It was very precious to her. She went looking. She lit the lamp. She swept the floor. You can imagine. And, of course, we understand it wasn't the last place she looked, because that's just the way when we lose things, that's where we find them. In the last place we look. But she searched for that, didn't she? She searched for it. God searches for the lost. Do we? Do we take on the attitude of Jesus when it comes to those who are lost? When there are those that behave badly, do we have an open part in our life to say, "I want them to be part of Jesus' flock too"? Or are we sometimes the Pharisees and those that didn't like Jesus? Do we look at them and say, "Oh, that's a sinner"? Do we look at the lost souls out there? Do we care? Do we look to our community? You know, it's interesting. Yesterday, I know there were a few people that were upset because Main Street was closed off and you had to go around and down and over and to get around and things, because they were having Taste of Mequon there. Restaurants and foods and bands and all sorts of things to show. Here's what's available for you in Mequon. And the rain came in and the rain came out and all these type of things. Everybody I talked with coming back from it was a wonderful day. Everybody enjoyed themselves. Taste of Mequon, to see what's offered in our community. Have we ever thought about being a taste of Jesus? Have we ever thought about offering to our community a taste of this is what Jesus is about? He is the good shepherd who will go looking for the wandering lost sheep. He is the one who will look for us and search for us and let nothing stop him from finding us. I mean, think about it for a moment. The shepherd went looking for the one. The woman went looking for the one. It was God who went looking for us. It was God who stooped down. We think it's too tough just to stoop down and pick up a penny. God stooped down out of heaven to pick us up, to make us his own, to include us in his flock. How many are in our Mequon, Thiensville, Germantown, Ozaukee, Washington County, Sheboygan County, wherever our county might be, Brown County, or Milwaukee County, Brown Deer area? How many are there that we know don't have that comfort and joy? How many do we know that we've dealt with and life is bad for them, or they're living life that is contrary to the will of the Lord? And do we write them off? Or do we open our arms and say, "Let me introduce you to my Savior. Let me tell you about the shepherd who will search for the one, the lost one"? We recognize that God has done this for us, and he tells us, just as Jesus says, "Each one of them is precious in my sight. Each one of them is the one that I died for, I lived for, I rose for, I intercede for." He's there in heaven making it sure that we are his. It's interesting for the second one, when he talks about the woman, he says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Do you realize the celebration that is there when one comes into the flock of Jesus Christ? And matter of fact, this one, it says there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels. Well, who is in the presence of the angels but God himself? God rejoices when one of his sheep is brought back into the flock, when that one who has been wandering and lost has been found. Oh, might we be involved in causing a celebration in heaven? As we gather together as one congregation, as we go along saying, what might we be able to do to give the people of this area a taste of Jesus, a taste of the grace and mercy of God, a God who wasn't too big or too large to go down, to stoop from heaven, to pick up but a penny, to pick up but one, you and me, because he so loved us. My dear Christian friends, let us rejoice that God considers one very precious, you very precious, and those we meet are also precious as well. May we bring them in that there may be rejoicing and celebration in heaven. Amen.